In the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, one God, Amen. We have been talking in the month of December about the family, and I thought to conclude this Sunday with the faithful family. As you hear the scripture today and during the whole month of Kiyak, we talk about the first chapter of the book of Luke, and all of it, Annunciation, good news, and you hear about how Zechariah and Elizabeth understood the scripture, the message they received from the archangel Gabriel. And as you will hear soon about St. Mary, when she says, from now on all generations will call me blessed, and we magnify St. Mary all the time, and we still do. So you would wonder about the time between Moses and the coming of the Lord Jesus, is about 1500 years. How did Zechariah and Elizabeth still remember all the scripture? How would we fulfill the commandment of St. Mary that we, from generation to generation, we will call her blessed? And how is it in the liturgy, as you pray it every time, when we say, as it was, so it shall be, it is from generation to generation? What does it mean? It means that we all, as Christians, we have faith that we keep in our heart and we can pass it on to our children. So if you ask if faith is inherited or not, the answer is very simple. And you find it in the second epistle of Timothy in chapter 1, when St. Paul said to his disciple Timothy, I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother Louise and your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded is in you also. So children will never ever have faith if you, the dad and mom, don't have that faith, if you don't keep it strong, and if you don't hold on to your tradition, your values, your Christianity. If you don't, it will never go to your children. And that's how societies suffer. Societies everywhere now suffer because they don't have God in their heart. If the children were not raised in the fear of God, they will never get married and have children and pass that fear into their heart. It will never be passed on. How would you pass something that you don't have? If I ask you to teach a course in medicine, how could you teach the course if you do not know the material and if you don't have the experience? You would not do it. You will not be able to even know what you are talking about. Same for family and same for faith. If we do not work on our faith now, we will never have it. Sometimes we make the excuse that we're working so hard because we came here to give our children a much better life than what we had before. Let me tell you something from the book of Matthew in chapter 16, and I'm sure you remember this verse in number 26, when the Lord said, what profits a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? You keep yourself busy with work and you lose your salvation and you lose your family. And then what would you do when you stand before the Lord and he's asking you to give me an account of the family that I give you? There are some people do not have families, some don't have children. How would you answer God the question about your family and your children if you did not pass that faith to them? You know that God is God, you know he exists, you know it's true. If it is not, tell me if anyone who did not die. If God does not exist, tell me that you do not see the sun every day and you don't see the morning and the evening every day, as he said. Tell me that you do not see people are the same, having same face, same hand, the same leg, the same foot. All things are the same, exactly as God described the creation. Look outside here. It's all written in the Bible. It all proves the existence of God. So if God does not exist, go ahead and do whatever you want. But if God exists and he does exist, we must get ourselves ready. We will never be saved from our sins and be in heaven with him if we do not take care of our children. You may wonder where it says that in the Bible, in the first epistle of Timothy in chapter 2 and verse 15, and please listen carefully to this verse. It says, nevertheless, she, the mother, will be saved in a childbearing if they continue in faith, love, and holiness with self-control. Meaning, if you do not take care of your children, bring them to church, and teach them the faith, you will not be saved. You will not be in heaven without your children. And that's how the church teaches the priest to always keep talking to your kids and tell them that you must go back to the image and likeness of God and work hard to be God's child. It's good to have the expression that we are a children. That means He really loves us so much, He cares about us so much, and we are still in the process of learning from Him. If and only if we humble ourselves and we abide with His commandments. Even if it goes that far that we cry in our prayer and asking God to take care of our children, yes, we should do it. You remember the story of St. Augustine. His mother, St. Monica, she cried bitterly. She was asking for the salvation of her son. And if you all know about the saying of St. Ambrose, when he told her, trust my daughter that the son of these tears will never perish because of your prayer, your care about your son and your daughter, trust that God will save him and you. You will not be saved without your children. If you have a different idea, I'm not sure from where you got it, but that's the teaching of God Himself. The only way for us as priests or families or dads or moms to be saved and be with God is through the faith that we pass it to our children. I want to imagine this for a moment. When you are in heaven and God tell you, look at this, this is your children, and you find multitudes of people, then you say, how could that be? I have only one or two children when I was on earth. But when you taught your son or daughter this one or two or three or more or less, they taught their children, and their children taught their children. And until the end of days, now you stand up and look at the whole generations. Not generations of people are standing because of you. They became Christian, and because of you, they got to know God. Please keep this in mind. How can we do it? Is it something difficult? No, it is not. Tell you a few steps quickly. Number one, what we call it, the life of adoration, of love. For you to stand to pray in the front of an icon of the Lord Jesus, or Saint Mary, or Saint George, or any of the saints, you are like engraving in the heart and mind of your child that there is something called God. There is a holy person in this picture, like Saint George or Saint Nina or any one of the saints. And look at Saint Mary and look at the virtues in this picture. So every time they look at a picture or an icon, they know there is something behind it. God is in each one of those. So for us not to have pictures in our small church at home, something very difficult. Imagine if you teach your son or daughter to grow in a house and all what they see, the picture of singers or actors or actress, what are you teaching them? And how would you answer God about your children? Number two, Christian education. St. Paul said in the book of Romans in chapter 10, verse 17, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So you must teach. You must tell, you must sit with your children, as I spoke about last time about the family altar. You must teach them. Whom would you trust to teach your kids? Somebody from outside? Those who have no values or no Christian teaching? Or those who are now got lost for their own personal lust and desires and financial gains? Is that how you want your kids to be raised? Or you are the one who cares more about teaching them the values of Christianity and being God's child? And when you tell them you are God's child, it's completely different, because it means you have the same like God in Tavan, with complete difference. He is infinite in His holiness, in His love, in His purity, in all things. For us, we are holy, we are pure, we are righteous people, we are loving people, but with much smaller percentage. But when you mention that, you like built in their heart the meaning of being on the image and likeness of God. Number three, the family peace. You must have peace at home. God said through Isaiah in chapter 48, 22, there is no peace, says the Lord, for the wicked. If you keep fighting and arguing in the presence of your children, they will grow up too, always hating each other or hating the parents or fighting with all their little friends. It's really difficult when you hear a child coming and say, Abuna, I hate my father, or I don't like my father, or I wish for my father to die. Very difficult when you find a very little child, 3-4 years, and he says an expression like that. How would a small child speak about hatred to his father, unless the father is aggressive, always hurting and hitting, or cursing or speaking bad language at home? So please watch for this. The peace that you give to your children, it means you have God in the house. Remember when I spoke the second time about the family joy? It is one of the fruits of the Holy Spirit. The first three fruits in the Holy Spirit are love, joy, and peace. If you don't have the peace at home, that means you don't have God at home. And watch for that. You will give an account about not having peace at home and taking that peace out of your children's heart. Make sure that you work on instilling that peace into their heart. Number four, look at how you deal with difficulties. Your children will learn from you how you handle problems. How can you take care of it? It is not something that you do it by yelling and screaming and cursing at home. Try to act like God as he did. And as you know, it was written in the book of Isaiah and also in Matthew chapter 12, verse 19, that he did not quarrel and no one heard his voice in the streets. Right? If the Lord, even in all this preaching, and there are thousands of people around him, one time he was feeding like 5,000 men, not counting women and the children, another time 4,000. So you are talking about at least from 10 to 20,000 people around him, and they still say they could not hear his voice, meaning he was speaking gently, softly, in love and in harmony. That's how you teach your kids to speak. You speak loud, they will speak loud. You fight, they will fight. You quarrel, they quarrel. You get angry, they get angry. You curse, they curse. You smoke, they smoke. You drink alcohol, they drink alcohol. You say, just for fun, it's Christmas time, they will do it the same. Now you are older, you can't control yourself. But how about your children who cannot control it? Would you like to wait until you hear something bad happen? So why don't you take the initiative and start right now? The first point is the library. Start building a library at home. Have all the books that your children can read. Have all the videotapes about saints. Thank God we have so much right now. We can sit together and watch, and we can read, and we can now go back to the family altar I spoke about, and we share together and join like a good time when we all sit as a family watching a good movie and learn from this movie about St. George, about St. Mary, any of our saints. And the sixth and the last point, also get your kids to be active in educational trip. Go visit other churches, I don't mind. Go visit a monastery. Go visit with friends, good people who always are godly Christian families. Don't make it so like a prison at home. Kids cannot go anywhere. I agree with you that we must check, and I support you for that. But also give them some slack, some time, some freedom. As long as you know the family that they are going to visit with, I do not support or encourage any sleepover, even with Christian families. Kids are kids, and as we spoke about yesterday, about internet security, there is so much that kids can access through the internet. What's wrong with sleeping at home? Why should we go sleep over somebody's house? They are good, they are nice, and they are Christian, and they are friends. We trust them, it's all good. But why not having my kids with me at home, in my own bosom, at home where I can know what is going on, what's happening? I like to have my kids around me all the time. With all due respect to every family, I do not support, I do not recommend that you let your kids go sleep over. So please, Bring back the faith that you received from your family. Because of that faith that you received from your family, you built this church. Let your kids also build other churches. They will never do it if you do not teach them. How would they know there is a God? How would they love God if you don't teach them the love of God? This is the true meaning of Christian family. The family that's built on the love of God will always be a loving family to God, will always be a joyful family, will always be a peaceful family, will always be a humble family. That's very important. Very important you teach your kids how to be humble. In schools right now, they are teaching like debate, and they teach them to doubt anything. And even in the Bible, even other churches that we teach in the seminary, they teach their kids not to take every word as if it is the word of God. Select. You will never and should never pick and choose from the Bible what could be godly, what's not. If the Bible is all inspired by God, it is all the word of God. All of it, A to Z. There is no exception whatsoever. We do not pick and choose words it belongs to God or not. It is all the word of God. So watch for the strange teaching that you hear from outside. Teach the faith, deliver the faith, and let God work in you and your family. And glory be to God now and forever. Amen.